traditional in-person admissions and discharges, you can have frequent interruptions, you know, when a nurse is doing this process, because they are multitasking and there are things that happen clinically during a patient's stay. And that can sometimes take 45 minutes to an hour. We see the average for virtual nursing, it's about 15 to 16 minutes.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Gita Nastasi of New York Presbyterian Hospital. She is a Chief Nursing Informatics Officer. Now, New York Presbyterian Hospital is a 3,800-bed healthcare delivery system located in New York City. So, Gita, the rise in virtual programs at New York Presby has accounted for, well, in fact, telehealth in particular, has accounted for 60% of outpatient visits in New York Presbyterian Hospital Health System in early 2020, and around 18% of the monthly volume at that time. Notable among your virtual offerings, the pharmacy department recently launched a telepharmacy program that focused on discharge medication counseling. Would you like to tell our listeners more about that?
Absolutely. New York Presbyterian is like most other healthcare systems. I mean, our virtual health and business models continue to proliferate, and we're trying to build on that trend and move away from brick and mortar. And so when we saw that proliferation within telehealth, I think in 2016, we had about maybe 1,000 virtual visits. And then at the height of the pandemic in 2020, we went to about 1.25 million. And we saw that was working really well. So we really wanted to continue that momentum. And one of the things we noticed in our HCAHPS scores was that, patients overall, anywhere in the world, they're not always the most compliant. And how can we improve that? And how can we improve the patient experience when it came to medication compliance? And our pharmacy department obviously came up with a solution that they would be notified when patients were being discharged. And then they would come into the room using our current platforms, and they would educate both the patients and their significant others on discharge medication. And we saw that since that program has started in every single domain where we measure our medication administration and patients' understanding of it has actually gone up. And in fact, just yesterday, the director of that program did reach out to talk about scaling it across the organization. And we're doing that with quite a lot of other programs, and I'm sure you're going to ask me about those.
Well, I wanted to ask about those programs. And before we get to it, though, I just want to ask, is this telepharmacy program, is it for inpatient and outpatient?
It's for inpatients. So currently it's for inpatients. So if you're a patient and you're going to be discharged later on today, we get notified, pharmacy will get notified of that impending discharge. Mm-hmm. And what they'll do is they will, we have a process where we actually notify the patient about the program. And we do have literature as well that is marked and approved. And the patient shows interest. The pharmacist will use the TV in the room, and there's a whole set of prompts, and the patient will accept the on their handheld remote. They will accept that prompt. The pharmacist will come on the TV basically and talk to the patient like you and I are talking right now. And it's a very bespoke process, is what I would say it is. And you have that individual interaction, and you have the full focus on the pharmacist and the patient and whoever else is in the room. And so that's been working really well.
So what percentage of discharged patients are engaging in this program?
So we, it all depends on the inclusion and exclusion criteria.
Yeah.
I do not have the latest stats, but I will tell you there's a process where we do have to vet the patients mm-hmm. in the room before we actually bring them in. And sorry, I don't have that information right now, but yeah. You did ask a question about outpatient. Now, mm-hmm. Through our Connect portal, we do send discharge information and medication information to our patients. And we've actually also opened that up to our inpatients as well. So if you're an inpatient, Jordan, and you're on, 15 different medications. You can get all that information on your phone. You can see as well what times your medications are due, and you can also see if you've missed medications, etc., or you're not being given the medications in the time frame you're supposed to get.
So it sounds like it's a percentage of discharged patients in an inpatient setting. You have a patient portal, a digital front door, if you will, through which people can view their own medications. Do you have any information on the impact of this program's intervention on outcomes and medication adherence?
Well, all we have right now is our HFAP scores and the responses from the patients. So we've seen that they've gone up by at least what we call one star in every domain, meaning the patients understand the medication and in the patient compliance. And that's who we're monitoring when we send out our surveys. We actually specifically focus on our telepharmacy patients. But
And
again, I don't have those statistics.
is it an opt-in program or an opt-out program?
It's an opt-in program, so we don't force you to do it. We will offer it to you. Again, we do have an exclusion and inclusion criteria. So obviously, if you're comatose, you're not, if you have dementia, etc. So we do have specific criteria.
Interesting. So just to make sure we understand, just painting a picture for our listeners who are listening on audio very likely at this moment, you have a patient who's in a hospital room and there is a physical video screen in that room. And should the patient meet the selection criteria and opt into the program, then a pharmacist, who, by the way, is a pharmacist an employee of New York Presbyterian?
Correct. It's
Okay.
all in-house.
They're off-site. They're not in the hospital at that moment, are they?
So they could be in the pharmacy department where they're working. And that is the beauty of this program. We're not taking people away from the place where they live and work. So the pharmacist is doing the normal pharmacist job in their everyday. And then they're also part of the program. So, they're multitasking, if you will. And they're doing more because sometimes you do have downtimes, for instance. But when you say we have a monitor in the room, I just want to go to our patient infotainment strategy for a minute. So we're using something called PCare as our infotainment system, and that is the smart TV in the room. And we're utilizing that. We're not bringing another piece of technology into the room.
So, you mentioned something interesting I just want to follow up on. And again, as context, many of our listeners right now may be thinking, wow, this is an interesting program. I wonder if this is something, a telepharmacy program that maybe we should consider at our organization. So in that light, you mentioned that pharmacists are in their normal workplace and their normal workflow doing what they need to do, but then sometimes they're doing these consults for patient discharge, a telepharmacy program. How does that impact the pharmacist's workflow, and how does it impact the actual functioning of the pharmacy? Meaning, do you need to hire more pharmacists? Do you have to allocate 10% of their time? Is it disruptive if they're doing something else? And what has been kind of the feedback from pharmacists? Has this been something they've welcomed, or has it been an additional item on their workload?
Well, we would not add anything to people's workload if it's going to be unsafe. And that's where you have to have a very, very careful vetting process. So it's like our virtual nursing program. You had to identify specific people in a shift where this is being done to ensure that they have the bandwidth to do what they're doing. And that's exactly how we do it. So we look at our numbers and we look at where we're doing the specific programs and we plan for that. So right now it's in a couple of different units. And so we sort of predict what that workload would be, what that time constraints would be for the pharmacists. And we make sure we allocate enough people so we can have spillover, not to keep our patients waiting either, and not to delay the discharge process.
Got it. And I guess you also mentioned earlier that there are other programs in a telepharmacy program that you are working with.
Yes, so we have quite a few programs. I mean, New York Presbyterian always did have quite a, I would say, a sophisticated suite of programs, especially on the outpatient side. So we have things called second opinion. We have the virtual visits we just talked about. We have express care, urgent care, inter-hospital consults, And we have, I mean, let me just tell you about Express Care. It has helped reduce ED wait times from patients from 2 to 3 hours to approximately 35 to 40 minutes. So we see that these programs are working. And we really want to now really make the most of that on the inpatient side as well. I mean, we all know about resources and talent being very scarce and being very expensive. You know, the nurses leaving the workforce, the physician burnout, it sort of all adds in. And I think what we're seeing is that having hybrid models of care is really going to help alleviate that stress on resources and keep the patient experience as seamless and as uninterrupted as possible. So building actually simultaneously while we were working on virtual pharmacy, the nursing department, who's one of the hottest hit resources across the world right now, they started looking at virtual nursing. And so we polled our nurses. We have about 11,700 nurses across the organization. So we did a poll of our nurses and we used that data to complement what we were hearing from the voice of the bedside. And one of the things our nurses were telling us is that the admission and discharge process, you know, it's a very long process. It can be a very cumbersome process. And they really wanted to ensure that in addition to everything else they were doing, that they wanted to ensure that they gave the patients their full focus. And they thought it was one of the ways in which we can use virtual models of care to really help them with reducing documentation burden, releasing them so they can have more time for clinical surveillance, but also benefit the patients. So we actually have a pilot that's ongoing right now with two of our 11 campuses. And we kicked that off in November 1st of this year. We're doing virtual admits and discharges using, again, the same platform, again, that we're using for telepharmacy. And in one hospital, we decided to deploy a different technology strategy just so we can compare the both. So we're bringing in telehealth carts in one organization, and in the other, we're using the same as the pharmacist. We can have a point of comparison.
So on that topic of patient engagement, I know that you have an interactive patient engagement system with televisions, and that's for, we mentioned that, you alluded to it a moment ago, and that's, there's a dietary component, an electronic health record component, and a whiteboard for collaborative care. How have these affected patient satisfactions, and what metrics have you used to come to that conclusion?
So we do have monthly metrics where we're measuring patient satisfaction. It's been overwhelmingly positive. I would say we're in probably in the 90th percentile. We're also in the 90th percentile. We've been measuring virtual nursing for patient satisfaction with the program as well. And let me just go back to that for a second before we go to the infotainment system. We have seen that traditional in-person admissions and discharges, you can have frequent interruptions, you know, when a nurse is doing this process, because they are multitasking and there are things that happen clinically during a patient's stay. And that can sometimes take 45 minutes to an hour. We're seeing the average for virtual nursing, it's about 15 to 16 minutes. And the patients are loving it because you have this uninterrupted, like you and I, one-on-one session. And we're seeing other really nice wins with the program because, for instance, I'll just give you one really nice patient story. We had a patient who was all set to be discharged, and something happened with the patient, and the nurse caught it during the discharge process and noticed that the patient was looking a little diaphoretic and the blood pressure had gone up, and was able to use our smartphones in real time and connect with the patient's nurse and the physician. And then that patient converted back into an admission status. So it's working really well. The nurses love it. It's given them more time back to do other things within their shift. And the patients are loving it because they have that one-to-one interaction.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. Our listeners love listening to anecdotes. So back to the infotainment.
Back to entertainment. So PCARE is our interactive patient engagement system that is integrated into our TV systems. And the goal for that program really is to improve infotainment for the patients, a better quality of TV viewing experience, also to provide timely information on the patient For the patient care team and about the patient care team, we talked about the whiteboards a few minutes ago. We also use it to deliver key information on medication discharge and other educational materials. And really, it also is a vehicle to provide real-time feedback, which is why I can tell you that the statistics are positive for it.
Excellent. Moving along to another topic, New York Presbyterian seems to be very tech forward. There are many different devices. In fact, you have an approach in New York Presbyterian that you refer to as the mobile first approach. And in this program, there are dedicated phones where New York Presbyterian issues phones to every member of the care team. To date, New York Presbyterian has deployed about 35,000 smartphones and equipped them with administrative and patient care apps. This has improved workflow efficiencies by enabling real-time access to clinical alerts, lab results, documentation, interpretive services. My question for you, Geeta, is what has been the patient provider response? And I'm particularly interested on impact on patients without access to mobile phones and pushback from the team, for example, by carrying multiple phones in their pocket.
Well, let's start with the last one, the multiple phones in their pocket. So for our residents, for instance, we give them their phones equipped with data. So they can use our hospital-issued phones as their personal phones. We don't stop that. For our nurses, because we are also under a bargaining agreement for many of our nurses, we do not give them a data plan. Their phones only work when they enter our network area within the various campuses. We've had not had an issue with people saying, well, I'm carrying too many devices. Actually, the exact opposite, and I'll tell you. That when you give not only your physician, but you give your nurse, your transporters, your environmental service workers, your respiratory therapists, your patient care technicians, you give them each their phone. It's had the opposite effect. They do feel empowered and they do feel as though that they're not being overlooked and they're really part of the care team. And that has really led to a lot of user satisfaction. And on the patient side, we're seeing the same thing. I mean, I hear anecdotally all the time from people that the patients love that the nurses are working in a mobile-first approach because it's something that's very familiar to our patients who are also consumers of care. It's something that they do in their normal lives. And when they come into our hospitals, people don't stop being patients, right? So they and it's almost an expectation and also a general generational expectation, I would say, that we will see in the future when I was in Gen Zers and above. So it's been working really well. The phone is very portable. It's convenient. It's lightweight. You have your own phone. So it does foster increased collaboration. And again, anecdotally, I will tell you, and in speaking to my colleagues, I have never seen this sort of collaboration and communication between our care team that I'm seeing. Our physicians, our nurses in particular, they are collaborating even more on our governance process, and they're looking for very innovative ways to use the phones just with secure chat alone. NYP, to the best of my knowledge, among all our Epic, among all the Epic clients, we are the largest users of secure chat. We do about 200,000 secure chats a day, and about 72% of those conversations are actually attached to a patient record.
So, well, we are approaching the end of this podcast episode. And as we do so, we've covered a lot of ground. We've spoken about patient engagement. We've spoken about the telepharmacy program and innovation in using the mobile-first approach. But those are all things you currently do have. So, Geeta, I'd like to ask you kind of a fun question. If you were to rub a magic lamp and a genie was willing to grant you a wish to solve any problem currently confronting New York Presbyterian Hospital, what would you wish for?
Well, we're not only just wishing for it, we're actually getting ready to do it. So we've launched remote patient monitoring and hospital to home, which I think is going to be a huge trend. I mean, you've probably seen the research, and I think Gartner came out with a research recently that said by 2025, maybe as much as 40% of healthcare providers will shift 20% of hospital beds to patients' home. And I think that's where we really need to go. We really need to think about hospitals in the non-traditional sense, not as a place where you go to, but as a place that can provide you care at the point where you live and work.
And well, I guess the last follow-up to that, because I can't leave on that one thing, are there any data challenges that you foresee in facilitating this transition to non-traditional hospital at home programs?
No, because I think in order to be a digital first organization and to make sure that you are scalable, I think here at New York Presbyterian, we have a very robust and very sophisticated data strategy. And so we've seen, especially if like many people have seen during COVID, where data sort of led the way. And mm-hmm. we're using that data as complementary to where we feel the industry needs to go and to maximize the benefit for healthcare at the points where patients live and work, which is not always coming to a hospital.
So for our listeners, this has been Gita Anastasi, the Chief Nursing Informatics Officer at New York Presbyterian Hospital. Gita, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jordan.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.